traditional, and it's an honour and a privilege to be sitting here at Steele Island at the ATIRP biennial conference or gathering. My name's Mark Randall, as you know. I'm the host of the Heart of Connection podcast, and it's a lovely opportunity to sit here with a doyen of the ATIRP, an elder of the ATIRP community. Just by way of introduction, could you let me know, or let listeners know who you are and how it all come about?
Yes, I'll do my best. As far as the inner journey work goes, I was working in. I was working in New South Wales in a small country town with the Indigenous community there. And myself and two others on the team worked together. We just walked along with the people and listened to their dreams and helped them put into form some of those dreams. Until about, we'd been there about 10 years, and they were up and active and had some of their associations operative, and we thought it's time for us to move out. If we stay here, we will remain the kind of focal point. They need to have that for themselves. So at that point, I had lots of inner reactionary material, particularly about racism in the town. And I went to the... I heard from a chap who was a Jungian analyst that, and he had come north to run a dream work day or couple of days, and he spoke about breath work that he had learned about from a woman in Sydney who had been to America, learnt it all from Stanislav Grof, who was a psychiatrist from behind the Iron Curtain, who got out from there to America and was practicing in America. And she eventually found him, did her training with him. One of the things she heard was, in one of her sessions, heal the planet, and she freaked. He said, it just means take step one, take this work back to Australia. And she did that, started Euroa House in Balmain, until she heard another directive in one of her sessions, and it was, go to the Blue Mountains. So John Jansen, she'd met up with him. The two of them went to the Blue Mountains looking for a place to establish what we now call the work. She had also formed a new relationship with a man who was a body worker. So they found a place, called it the Living Waters Centre, and people in those days, which was, I think, late 70s, if not very early 80s, and they began putting together inner journey work, really. An eclectic model of breathwork, meditation, dream work, sand play, voice dialogue came later.
And how would you describe the role of inner work to connection to self?
So particularly in the breath work, which was the deepest process of all, people are led. They have a person with them, but they're led into a non-ordinary state of consciousness. Breathing deeply and letting themselves be taken into another realm, if you like. Sometimes the body is the part of them that leads them on the journey. Sometimes it's imagery in their mind. Sometimes it's words. Whatever comes, they're encouraged to go with and see where they're taken, what they are shown, what they are here, and to experience that. And to, at the end of it, at the end of the session, see what that has to do with their ordinary life. There'll always be a connection. Out of all of that, we learn, along with doing sand play or some of the other methods, modalities, we go from the conscious to the unconscious and back again. Whether that's dream work, whether it's sand play, whether it's voice dialogue, drawing, gestalting, all sorts of modalities. No matter what it is, we discover along the way that deep inside each of us, there is what I call an inner lover, a part of us that loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. Sometimes we call it the inner healer, the inner divinity. But whatever name, it is a part of us, an energy within, and it's spiritual. It's of our soul. It's of our essence. And it only wants us to make a journey that we call the inner journey, to make that journey toward becoming our true self, our whole self. And along the way we meet our shadow, all the parts of us that have a negative energy.
And those negative energies, the shadow, they're still there to protect a part of self.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not, that's the role. And I assume those roles might be part of our DNA, it might be part of our social conditioning, part of our family of origin conditioning.
Yeah, or even further back.
Collective
unconscious. Carrying stuff from way, 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 way back. And a lot of people come to get rid of that. But what they find is it's better to make friends with it.
Connect to it.
Connect to it and express it. And in that, it transforms, changes its form from so-called negative to so-called positive. But it's all part of us and part of our wholeness.
Does that enable us, that connection to our shadow, does that enable us to then be in a more empowered position to observe, to witness it?
Yes. We've all got a part of our mind that we encourage development of, called the witness part of our mind. It's not involved in any action. It's simply observing, remembering, allowing.
How does that then help the inner work to connect to your soul? To how does that help you then in connection to others?
There's two in connection to others. I suppose there's three states, inner states, we can come from. One is we could be in reaction to them. So the connection is very fraught with judgments or expressions of hate or whatever. The other is a response rather than a reaction, with compassion and heart, and understanding. And the heart is involved in that. But there's another part of us that's even more than those two, and that is that essence part, that the divinity within, all those words I mentioned a while ago, that is able to simply be and help us to be with another.
When we're being and connecting to an other in that, what are we? Is there an energetic, a sharing of energy, a sharing of the similar space, sharing of the essence?
There can be. It depends a little on the other. I'm known for being a storyteller. But anyway. When my husband Steve, who worked with me with the Indigenous, and later on we married and together were sought out by people wanting to do this work, and eventually they started asking us to do their training. But when Steve and I married, we wrote our own marriage vows, and the crux of each, for each of us to the other, was to help the other become the best person they could be, or the person they are in their essence. So I'm not saying we were always doing it and we were perfect, we weren't, but it was there as a base in our love for each other.
And when you both worked through the reactions and responded and your essences met, how would you describe the meeting of your two essences and the connection it had, or they had?
Well, to start with, different each time, I'd say. Sometimes still. A deep stillness in the other's presence. A deep peace. Or a deep love that was more than human. It came from that inner divinity. And yes, out of that, we, as a married couple, would make love, yet, in a sense, the love was already made, and we were just expressing it.
Are you there now? as you're having sharing the story with me, is your energy, are you reconnecting to the to your
well
essence?
I don't know that I was conscious of it, but okay. I know it's there. And I was thinking about this today. I'm 81 now, benefit of my listeners. And I know I don't need to do lots of personal work as such now, because I know at any moment I can just turn inward and I know that I'm in connected to the divinity.
To the, yeah.
So that's, that fills me with an amazing sense of gratitude for all the years of clearing out my problematic self. Yeah, I could use another word, but...
Oh, please don't swear on.
No.
When you hit the essence, what happens? Can you describe what happens to your sense of self?
I'm free in myself. It doesn't bother me what people think about me. Or I try to meet people in it and communicate properly and hopefully meet them. But if they don't understand or they disapprove or they come back at me as if, you know, what are you on about? That doesn't bother me. It's like I know the truth. I know me. I know where I'm coming from. I know that it's all right to say what I'm saying.
Does the sense of I, this might be more of a Buddhist concept, but the sense of I, when you're in that essence, does the sense of I dissolve?
If, I'm not sure about Buddhist theories or beliefs or whatever, but... initially, now I want to go right back.
Yeah.
I was the fourth in a family of seven. The sister above me was 5 months old when Mum realised she might be pregnant again. And she, my experience of it was she went, oh, my God, I hope I'm not pregnant again. And in that, I felt her energy go away from me. And later on, when I had a brain and I could look back on it and experience it all again, I put on it, I'm not wanted, or there must be something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. All those kind of beliefs. So my egoic self, the I of me, always was trying to be better. And if something happened that I did and I was getting praise for it, like at first I'd lap it up, but then... later on, when I learned about the ego and about the mind and about the other aspects, more spiritual, deeper self, I had to watch my ego because it would grab at anything like that. But that was because it was in cahoots with what we call the hurt inner child. That's a big part of the work, helping people to deal with their reactions and defences and to see where their the origins of them lie and what the pattern in their lives is around that particular issue.
When you touch into your divine essence, can you describe what you experience happens to your hurt in a child?
It's not there. No, it seems to go off stage.
Or is it dissolved into the essence of the energy of your divine essence?
I can't answer that, Paul. It's like, Mark, I'm sorry. All I know is that when I'm in that state, the hurt inner child's not on the radar.
When you're in that divine essence, can you describe what the energy in your body's like?
I'm sorry you can't see me because I'd like to go into a very quiet, deep, relaxed, happy, peaceful. Often, even none of those things. It's like a nothing place that is good, though. Like the nothing to the child is terrible. But in the essence, nothing. It's deep and beautiful.
Is that essence beyond the person? Does it take you to the all that is?
Yes. Takes me to it.
Takes you to it.
It's, yes.
Through you connecting to your inner divinity takes you beyond.
Yes.
Hard to put into words.
It is.
It is, isn't
my
it?
My mind.
Very difficult to put into words.
You know, the word God.
Yep.
And I'm Catholic, so
yep.
That's very common to me.
Yep.
But it's just my understanding is that word means the unknowable.
Okay.
And so being in the presence of that essence, the divinity, allows me to be happy, content, peaceful in the mystery.
What a beautiful place.
Mm.
One of the things that I've been, a question I've been asking people as part of the podcast is, as we heal ourselves, are we also then healing Mother Earth?
Yes, because we can't, we can't be in that space. We can't truly be in it. We might think we are, but we wouldn't be truly in it if we were denigrating Earth or, you know, causing harm to Mother Earth. If we're engaged in that, well, we haven't quite got there into essence. And sometimes we'd be a long way from it, depending on what we're doing. I had a breath session in 2017 where this was after my husband died. And it was about the thin spaces between this world and the next world. I could see this grey, misty, cloudy, whatever it was, coming down. And I knew that this world was in that world and that world was in this world. And then everything turned green, and I have Irish roots on both sides. So it was like, I'm in Ireland, but I'm here, and I'm here, but I'm in Ireland. And then everything turned red, and I was in the centre of Australia, in the red centre, and it was here, and I was there. And that was wonderful. Then I felt myself wanting to push I got my sitter to put pressure on my chest. And when he did, I went into the earth, walking around in the earth. And it was very malleable. I could, we don't, in non-ordinary states, that's not a problem. So I'm walking, I was moving around anyway, within the earth. And this thought came into my head. My dad was a farmer, and he ploughed the earth. And did that hurt it? No, perhaps he shouldn't have done that. And with that came this very beautiful and clear understanding and knowing. The earth saying, I want to give. And it just was the most beautiful understanding of, yes, the earth can be dug or ploughed or whatever for the benefit of humans, but not exploited. Or, you know, Dad only ploughed it to grow vegetables for us, or to grow crops for the cows and the calves. And, you know, there was a purpose, and it was a very minimal kind of purpose.
Are you confident that through the inner work of reaching that divine essence, does it become easier, the more we do the inner work, does it become easier to access it and connect to it?
Definitely, yes. Mm. And if it's not easy, there's some resistance in us. And the beautiful thing about resistance is it's an indicator that something is wanting to come through. And we can stay in the resistance and fight whatever it is that wants to come through. But it'll win out in the long run. It'll come at us through the back door when we're not expecting it. Because it's coming from that inner lover place, the place that loves us and wants us to have everything that we need and who we are.
How healing is that,
yes,
inner lover, just as you share that with me. And just to connect with you, mm-hmm, the energy through our eyes is just incredible, just to see, yes, it and to be present to that.
Yes, yes.
And to be able to share that.
Yes, and I honour the essence of you, Mark.
And I honour the essence of you, Pat. Thank,
yes,
you.
Yes.
And we're nearly, we're getting close. Pat, is there any advice that you would like to offer listeners, young listeners coming through 81 years of experience, built a beautiful association of inner healers, inner work through the breath work, etc.? What advice would you like to offer in one sentence?
Well, if somebody stood with me and said, I don't like who I am, or something like that. Suicide's a terrible thing these days, and if somebody was near me and saying they wanted to give up their life, I would meet them where they're at first. That's the first thing. I hear you. But then I'd be aware of their inner lover place and of my inner lover. My inner lover wants to act through me. In a sense, I don't do anything. It's the inner divine energy that operates through me or whoever has done this work and is aware of this. So, aware of both of those, what I would say would be given to me. but just now, off the top of my head, not being in the presence of one of those people, I might say something like, I hear you, and I just want to say to you, you're worth a lot more than that, and I could help you find that place in yourself.
Thank you.
Mm.
And thank you from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity to be a part of this association and for the growth that I've achieved by being a part of your work.
I honour that you have followed that impulse from deep within yourself, Mark.
Thank you.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.